Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning and welcome to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. I'm Kendra Petroni and today is a very special day, not only because the guest is my friend and colleague, but she is your host, the very heartbeat of this program. Sue Tabb gets the spotlight today, and I hope for many of you who are listening, you'll hear Sue's story, you'll listen to her words, and realize the importance of self-care. You know, back in January, Sue went in for a routine mammogram, a visit she thought would be just a simple checkup, but instead she was given a diagnosis of breast cancer. It's a sentence that we all dread to hear. However, what Sue did over the next few months, the mental, the physical battle she faced, it truly proved what a fighter she is. And in saying that, I believe she epitomizes what it means to be exceptional. Sue, you get the spotlight today. You are the queen. How are you?
Gosh, Kendra, thank you so much. That was such a kind introduction, way kinder than I feel I deserve. And it's very strange, I have to say, to be on the other side of the microphone and being the guest when this show has just, it's always been other people that I've been interviewing. And so it feels sort of strange, but I am really, really excited to share my story.
I know. So let's get to it. Let's rewind back to the early weeks of January. So we talked on the morning show about the importance of getting a mammogram. And while we were talking and doing the segment, we were actually joking about, you know, how uncomfortable they are to go in and get a mammogram, but that it's so important that women do it. You know, and in all seriousness, you went in for your appointment and walk us through that day and then what happened next.
Yeah, you know, I went in for my routine mammogram. It was a diagnostic mammogram, meaning that they read it before you leave. And so that was just based on my past history. So I got the mammogram done, didn't think anything of it. It was just like any other time, sat down with my little Johnny on, waiting for them to come out and pretty much give me the green light to go home. And instead, the technician came out and said, the radiologist needs to. And as soon as I heard those words, you pretty much know that something's up.
Right.
They see something that they don't like. So the radiologist sat me down. And it's at that point where it's hard, like time kind of freezes and it's hard to even process what they're saying to you because you're like, oh my God, wait, do I have cancer? And they don't know. All they know is that they see something that doesn't look good. And so she said, you need to go in for a biopsy. So I went in for a biopsy and about 2 days later, they said, yes, it is in fact cancer.
The minute they gave you the sentence, the diagnosis, like what was the most immediate emotion that you had?
I guess it's fear. I think fear is the first thing because there's so many unknowns. Well, what do you mean? And how bad is it? And how aggressive is it? And what stage is it? And well, what does that mean in terms of my treatment? And what, you know, will I recover? And what's the prognosis? And there's a million different things that you can't know until you sort of go through all of this testing and this whole long process. And so it's the fear of the unknown is what I would say. And of course, you're just sad and terrified and a bunch of different things all at once. But I think fear of what's to come is really the first thing I know I felt.
By the way, because all this is happening during COVID, you know, there are restrictions on who can come with you in and out of the appointments. And just in general, going into a doctor's visit, you can't really take anyone with you. So what was that like? I mean, could you have anyone come with you? And how was that experience? And how did you manage that?
That was probably the hardest part of this whole thing. And my husband will definitely tell you that that was the hardest part for him, is that when you get diagnosed in any time, it's difficult, but it within the constraints of a pandemic, it was really, really hard because Tom, my husband, couldn't come to any of my appointments with me. Once I was diagnosed, then you have a series of appointments with your oncologist and a pathologist and, you know, your surgeon and all of these things. And he couldn't sit in with me on any of them, which was so hard. He literally sat in a parking lot outside the North Shore Cancer Center for like 4 hours one day with his phone on speaker, you know, listening via conference call.
And also, I would say having that backup set of ears, see, for me, I would imagine that I would need somebody else to be listening and paying attention to the information, because I would probably be so mentally and physically distraught, not paying attention, that I would need somebody else to remember the information, what I need to do, the steps. So I can imagine that was probably hard. I don't know how you did that and remembering everything.
It was really hard. And that's why I said to him, even though you have to sit in the car, you have to sit in the car and listen, and you're going to remember things that I don't remember. It was really hard. I mean, COVID put just that extra little wrench in the whole thing. It was like bad enough, but here we are.
How was it telling your family? How was it telling Tom, your husband, and your daughters, Katie and Emma, and even your parents who are, you know, in Florida and you haven't seen them because of the pandemic, just with that alone? What was that like? And how did you feel when you were explaining to them what had happened to you?
Well, it's funny because I remember hearing somebody once saying, you know, when you get a cancer diagnosis, it's a family diagnosis because right. Your whole family ends up sort of going through a very emotional time. And my daughters are 21 and 23. They were very concerned. One of them was away at college and wanted to come home right away. The other one was living with us at the time. And it was hard because I also was feeling like, oh my God, now I'm giving you guys the burden of carrying this history. And that was wicked hard for me. I'll cry thinking about that. And my biggest fear was that my girls were going to be at risk. The good news was that I had some pretty in-depth genetic testing done. And what they can do today is amazing. You know, most people know about the BRCA gene, but there are 8 different genes now that they've identified that can be predictors in breast cancer. And of all those 8 genes, I had no gene mutations at all. I had nothing genetically suspect.
That's good news for my daughters.
Good news for my daughters. It doesn't mean that they still won't be watched like hawks because now they had, you know, a mom with this history, but at least I know that they aren't necessarily genetically predisposed because I didn't have any of those gene mutations. You also have to think about how you're reacting. You know, they see that you are now faced with this huge life challenge. You've been hit. It's like you're hit over the head. You're down. And how are you going to stand back up and fight this? And I was very aware that they were watching how I was going to deal with this.
How did your parents react when they heard the news or when you first told them about the diagnosis?
Yeah, my parents were obviously pretty devastated. And I think it was really hard because they weren't local. You know, their instinct was to just come right away and hug me and be here throughout the entire process. And they couldn't because of COVID. They hadn't been vaccinated yet. They lived down in Florida. So it was so hard not to have them because I'm really close with my parents. And I talk to my mom almost every day. And so I think it was heartbreaking for them not to be able to be there for me. But no, we did stuff via FaceTime and Zoom, and my mom and dad sent me cards every day. And so we just kind of had to improvise. And in the end, it turned out fine.
And I don't know if any of our listeners know this. I mean, I'm sure many people don't know, but this wasn't your first diagnosis with breast cancer. You were actually originally diagnosed 12 years ago, and that diagnosis had a profound impact on the way you were going to be able to be treated this time around. Can you talk a little bit about that first diagnosis and why that impacted how you were going to be treated this time around?
Yes. So back in 2009, it's hard to believe it was 12 years ago, I had stage zero breast cancer, which was basically, it wasn't even a lump or anything. It was like a collection of cells that were atypical. So they did a partial sort of lumpectomy and they radiated the breast. And that was the end of it. And then, you know, 10, 12 years go by, you certainly think, oh, you know,
you're good to go.
The first 5 years is generally sort of the big milestone.
Right.
And so I thought, oh, I'm good. But now, you know, 12 years later, there I was. So the problem with what happened to me is I ended up having to have a mastectomy because once you radiate a breast, it's hard to radiate it again. You can damage the skin.
Right.
So even though it was only stage one cancer, I didn't really have the option of just doing the lumpectomy and the radiation because it had been done already. So that was made up for me that, you know, but then I had to decide, do I want to do just the breast or the bilateral, both? And I ended up going with the bilateral. And that's a very personal decision for everybody. Everybody's situation is so different. There are so many different factors to consider, but that's, for me, that was the best way to go about it.
And I think you made that decision pretty quickly. I mean, I was very impressed at how fast the time was between your diagnosis, your decision-making, and the action of getting the surgery. I mean, that's impressive and that's hard to do. I mean, can you talk about that? I mean, were you sure you knew, like, this was it? This is my pros and cons, this is what I need to do. And this is my road of what I need to do to recover as fast as possible.
After I met with all of them and after I asked all the questions I felt like I needed to ask, and after I got all the information, I was very comfortable. And I was able to do, which is amazing, the entire thing all at once. It was a long surgery, but I did what's called implant reconstruction. So they did the mastectomy and then the implant reconstruction all within the same surgery. Wow. So it's about an 8-hour surgery, but you know, I woke up with almost no bandages on. It was amazing. I won't say it wasn't, you know, painful for the first few weeks and you have drains and things and it's not an easy recovery, but what they did was absolutely mind-blowing.
Well, you and I have been working remotely since January. I mean, we were back and forth. We were home last April, then we went back in and then we were back home again. So, and we both, I think, agree that, you know, working from home, it's not always easier. Sometimes you have to deal with all the added stresses. You've got family members, pets, dogs, everybody in your space. And it's not always easy. And I also think listeners don't realize that you don't have a writer. I mean, for what you do on the morning show, you're doing the news and entertainment. That's you. You're finding the stories, writing them, and doing it all yourself. Mm-hmm. And you're a worker. I know that you're a worker bee and you like to be busy and you like to be involved. How hard was it when you realized that you had to take a step back from work and have that time off? It sounds nice. And I guess to maybe people listening, you think, oh, that's great. You have a little break.
No.
But how hard is it to be stationary and just recover?
It was hard. You know, I'm not a good relaxer. And the other thing is you have to kind of accept help from other people. You and David were absolutely 100% amazing. You stepped into my chair, no questions asked. You had to do your work and my work. And, you know, I always say when somebody's down the wagon circle, and I couldn't tell you how just humbled and blown away I was by the amount of support that I got. I mean, meals were coming to our house for 3 weeks straight. Neighbors were doing stuff. Yeah, I must have had 20 bouquets of flowers come to my house, gifts being delivered. It was so heartwarming. And you don't really remember what people bring. You just remember who
they were.
Yeah, you remember who circled. It doesn't matter what they brought. I don't care if you brought a card or a plant or whatever. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you thought of me and you were trying to support me and to do something to support me. And that goes such a long way. And it is hard because I'm generally the person out doing those sorts of things for other people. And I'm a mover and a shaker. And I like to be always on the go. And for me to have to be stationary and for like it's a 6-week recovery.
Yeah.
And when they say 6 weeks, I mean, it's even longer than 6 weeks, but I mean, for a good month, you're down, you know, you can't do a whole lot. So you actually really need to tap into those other people. And that's hard to do. It's really hard to admit that you need help. But people want to help. They want to feel, if they care about you and they love you, they want to help. And I had to realize that, you know, it's okay.
If you're just waking up and tuning in, you're listening to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. I'm Kendra Petroni, and today is a special episode because we are putting Sue Tabb in the spotlight as she is sharing her recent battle with breast cancer and how a routine mammogram at the North Shore Cancer Center literally saved her life. Sue has been involved with the North Shore Cancer Walk for many years, long before her diagnosis. This year, the walk is June 27th, and they need all the help they can get to raise as much money as possible. So let's get back to our conversation. So let's talk about the work of the North Shore Cancer Center. I know you mentioned it a little bit earlier. How would you describe just your overall experience with the North Shore Cancer Center?
You know, it's funny. The doctors treat you like a person, like a human being, not just like a patient. They talk to you in layman's terms. They are accessible, which was important to me. You know, if you call and you call their office, they personally will call you back. You feel very cared for and in a way that's, you know, personal. I think it was my plastic surgeon who recognized the mental piece of this. Mm-hmm. And she's not, a therapist or a psychiatrist. She's a doctor.
Right.
But I remember telling her for the longest time after my surgery, I wouldn't go to my local grocery store because I didn't want to have the conversation 20 times in a row. How are you doing?
Yep.
Are you okay? And you have to sort of tell your story over and over again. I didn't want people to feel bad for me or sorry for me. And so I was telling her that. And she said, yeah, you go, if you want to go to a grocery store that's an hour away, that's part of your recovery, Sue. And I was like, huh? And she goes, there's a mental piece to this. Don't go until you're ready to go to that store.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Part of what this is mental, and you have to get over that piece of it. So I really love that she made me feel like I wasn't a freak for feeling that way.
No, that matters. And you remembered it. So obviously it was good advice and it made you feel better about that moment in time. So I love that. Let's talk about the North Shore Cancer Walk because it is coming up in about a month. It's coming up on June 27th. And, we've talked about this many times in the show. These past 18 months have been brutal for any charity, any organization doing their best to try to raise money, try to pivot and be creative in ways that they can, raise as much money as they need. Let's talk about the North Shore Cancer Walk's May Challenge fundraiser and this incredible prize that they have for anyone who's willing to donate. Might get a pretty swift guitar, I guess you could say.
Very swift guitar. A guitar signed by Taylor Swift. Yeah, I wanted to help them raise money, especially during, like you said, this really challenging year. So we thought, well, we're a radio station. What can we do to help them reach their goal? So we were like, oh, well, we can help with a cool prize. So we got a guitar signed by the one and only Taylor Swift. And we are doing what we're calling a May Challenge, which is anybody who donates $50 or more to the North Shore Cancer Walk between now and the end of the month is automatically entered into a drawing to win this fabulous prize. And it's just a way, like a lot of these people are going to give anyway. Cancer is so wide. It's touched so many people, unfortunately. And I think, so why not incent them to, do it right now? Because the walk isn't until June 27th. It's virtual again this year. But the money needs to be raised sort of now. So we're trying to kind of get people to move and act. And this guitar, you and I actually saw it. It's pretty cool.
It's pretty amazing. And if you want to see it and you want to donate, we've made it very easy. We'll put a link up on our website after this interview so you can have one click and go right there and donate. But it's northshorecancerwalk.org/magic. We've got it on our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram pages. It's so easy for you to just click and donate. And by the way, donate whatever you can. I mean, I'm sure they're grateful for any
donation. Amount.
Right. But
if it's $5, thank you. We don't care. Yeah,
exactly. But it's a great way to help. It's a win-win. I mean, you're helping the North Shore Cancer Center. I mean, they saved Sue's life. I'm sure they've saved millions of other people's lives, people that you know, people that are listening now that are maybe going there or in the middle of the process now. So northshorecancerwalk.org/magic, go there, donate, and you could maybe win a pretty cool guitar signed by Taylor Swift. It's not a bad thank you for helping out. So, out of this entire stressful, scary, unimaginable journey, what is the most important message that you want to share with all of our listeners?
I think just to take care of yourself, I think especially as women and a lot of times, especially if you're a mother, you tend to be very concerned about nurturing and caring for other people. And we forget and we put our own health on hold. We put appointments on hold, and COVID made it that much more.
Yeah.
Or sort of that it actually made it easier for people to not, you know, go to their appointments because they're like, oh, it might not be safe. I just won't go. Well, you know, that has an impact, that has a consequence. And the consequence, according to my doctors, were that a lot of people now are being diagnosed with cancer in the later stages, which is really scary because they're putting off routine screenings, not just mammograms,
right,
any kind of, you know, screenings. You have to take care of yourself. And, you know, the doctor's offices, they have crazy protocols in place to keep you safe. I mean, they've got everything going. It's a very safe environment and they make sure of it. And so don't put off your mammogram. Don't put off your screening. Had I put that off, I don't know what my prognosis would have been. If I had waited another year.
I know. Could you imagine? I think about that all the time. I mean, I made my mammogram appointment because of you. I was like, you know what? I'm going to just do it. I'm just going to go in and kind of get it over with, but go in, and I'd rather be safe than sorry and know what I'm facing if I'm facing anything. So it's a good point.
And you know, your loved ones need you. So your self-care is as important as anyone else's self-care.
Right.
And that is hard for a lot of us because we always see ourselves as nurturers and as caring for other people. And it's a mind shift to say, I need to be around too for the people who love me. So that's probably the biggest takeaway that I had.
And I don't know how you'll answer this, but who has been your biggest motivator, your biggest inspiration, your biggest supporter throughout this entire experience? Is there one, or maybe more than one, or who is
there's the so many more than one? I mean, I think the rock was my husband. Tom was my absolute rock through this whole thing. I'm a very emotional, Kendra, you've known me for many, many years. This is no surprise to you. I'm a very sort of emotionally driven person. I'm very spontaneous. And he is a very rational, very reserved, you know, there's a problem and there's a solution. And he sees things so much differently than I do. And it's why we balance each other out. And he was able to take me through this and really center me and just, you know, kind of guide me through and be like, what do we need to do? Well, now what do we need to do? Let's do it. Let's schedule it. Now what do we need? And he was right there for me. Well, as much as he could be with COVID, but he helped me to just kind of see it as, here's what we have. Here's what we need to do to get to the other side. And of course, my girls motivated me every day because they just were amazing throughout the whole thing. You know, it meant the world to me to have my family around me. So I have to say that they were huge in my recovery.
Well, I will say that I have worked with you for over 14 years, and you are my role model. You were my role model always. From the moment I met you, you were exactly the person that I wanted to be like in every possible way. And I just cannot believe how you took such a terrifying moment in your life. You acted fast. You saved yourself and many other people in doing that. And like Wonder Woman, you were back on the air like a month later, which is blows my mind, doing your work, getting right down to it. You have such a passion for what you do and such a strong confidence. I mean, you are the person that can walk into a room and make anybody feel comfortable, make everyone feel like they're welcome. And not everybody can do that. Not everybody has that trait, but you have it. You are a very special person to me, and I know to a lot of people that listen to this show.
Now I'm crying.
I just love you so much. And I think you, of all the people that you interview on this show called Exceptional Women, you are the most exceptional. I mean, you define it. You define what we do on this show. So
well,
I
thank
love
you for saying that. It's so much praise. I appreciate every word of it. And you know how much you mean to me. You're like a sister to me. So coming from you, that means a great deal. And I also have to thank you for your support because you've been right by my side through this as well as not only my coworker, but my friend. So thank you.
Do anything for you. Anything for you, Sue. Anything
thank
for you.
you.
We love you. Thank you so much for sharing your story. It's not easy to do. And I hope anyone listening that's maybe going through the same thing is feeling inspired and go get those mammograms.
Yes.
Take care of yourself because you have to be around forever. So you can't, you have to be around forever. Well, it was an honor to have my friend and the host of this incredible program, Sue Tabb, in the spotlight today on Exceptional Women. You know, we talk with celebrities and CEOs, but we're also interested in talking with your neighbors, your coworkers, and your friends who are quietly making an impact in their communities. Go to magic1067.com, email us if you know someone who you'd like to recommend for us to have on the show. And by the way, you can follow us on Instagram at sue.tab and at Kendra the Entertainer. We love hearing from you, and be sure to join us every Sunday morning for another edition of Exceptional Women. Have a great day, everyone.